Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. We're very pleased to welcome Sarit Zahavi. She is a very careful analyst, former lieutenant, she's a lieutenant colonel retired in the IDF, but she runs a nonprofit, ALMA, that observes the security zones, especially in northern Israel, of great concern to me, and other aspects of security challenges. But I'm going to start the report from ALMA about militia buildup in southern Syria, the darkness visible of the Syrian civil war, not in the headlines anymore, but we're talking about an ungoverned space, which is ripe for exploitation. Sarit, a very good evening to you. What is new about these militias? Because we've had reports on and off over the years of fighting between the factions in southern Syria.
Good afternoon. These militias are different from everything we heard in the past, because in the past we used to relate these militias as part of the rebels fighting each other, as you said, against the Syrian government. It's the same people, but actually they are now affiliated with the Shiite faction led by Iran, and they changed their loyalty. They transferred their loyalty that now, in a way that now they are subordinate to the Iranian. It's amazing because only until 2 years ago, they were fighting against the Iranian presence and the Hezbollah and the government in Syria, and now they are becoming part of them. And this is because the Iranians can actually provide them with the bread and ammunition, and that's the only way to survive in this jungle named Syria.
Malcolm.
So do they become an important force then in Iran's goal of triangulating Israel's borders? Do they play as much of a role internally to gain control over Lebanon as it does in terms of their broader regional aspirations?
Their goal is their mission in the field in southern Syria. There are actually Syrians, Sunni Syrians, locals that live in the towns next to the Israeli border, up to a few tens of kilometers or miles from the Israeli border. And their mission as of today is to recruit more people to secure VIPs that are coming to the region, to help the Iranians with the drug smuggling in the region, arms smuggling into the region. But of course, they can also be a potential recruitment array for terror and intelligence gathering against Israel. So it's part of the mechanism that the Iranians are building, but we are now at the starting point. It has just started, and ALMA Center found 36 militias, mapped 36 militias that are spread in each of these towns, almost each of these towns in South Lebanon, and some of them in South Syria, and some of them are connected to the civilian infrastructure that the Iranians are now building in southern Syria as well, such as the social associations that have their own militias, and that's part of this project of gaining control in this area.
Sarit, do these militias intend cross-border operations? Are they a threat to northern Israel?
Not yet. They can participate, or they can, the militants can be hired to help, like Hezbollah over there, to carry out terrorist attacks, but not as a whole militia going to cross the border tomorrow morning. This is a build-up of something that didn't happen yet, but definitely when the Iranians are holding a military force, part of more forces in the region next to the Israeli border, in a way that completely undermines the sovereignty of any Syrian state that doesn't exist anymore, pose a new challenge for Israel's security in the region.
We reported last week in my discussion with John about the expansion of Hezbollah activities in setting up supermarkets and controlling access to food to people, to only those who are card-carrying affiliates. Do you see this activity? Is it broader than we had thought in terms of spreading across the country Hezbollah's activities to gain, and is it a means to gain control over the people by being their supply route?
Yes, we're talking about Lebanon now. But by the way, we see a lot of similarities between the two countries when we speak about the Iranian establishment in the region, including when you talk about the food issue. Definitely the economic crisis in Lebanon became an opportunity for Hezbollah to fill into the vacuum of the government and to provide the population services that the government failed to provide. And bear in mind that Hezbollah is still a member of the Lebanese government, so it can take some of the budgets of the Lebanese government and actually use them through its own associations and its own mechanism to provide food to the population. What they have done is bring in merchandise from Iraq, from Iran, from Syria, food into their own supermarkets that were open everywhere in Shiite areas, and subsidizing this merchandise in a way which is much more subsidized than the official food that is being supplied by the government. And that's where you actually buy the population support, which is very important for Hezbollah, especially since we think of coming elections for the parliament in Lebanon. So.
Malcolm, some years past, I recall our conversation, and I don't remember, it was a security official in Israel, saying that Iran establishing an offensive capability on the Golan Heights in southern Syria was a red line. That was a red line that, if crossed, Israel would respond. Is that no longer applying, Malcolm? Because these militias look very offensive.
They do, and they crossed that line. I think Sarit is giving us that warning that they play this dual role, both the control there and the threat on the border. But there was for a long time we discussed their militia activities along the border. And Sarit, is that continuing? Do we still see Hezbollah and Iran trying to gain greater presence along the Golan border in the Golan Heights?
Yes, the militias are one part of the story. The second part of the story is Hezbollah itself is deployed in these areas, just in the same areas of the militias, with two units. The one is the Golan File unit. Again, they can use the militias for their own sake. The Golan File unit is a unit that is composed of local Syrians, and its mission is to carry out terrorist attacks against Israel, such as snipers or mines. And they already tried a few times. The second unit is the Thousand Command Unit, which is training the Syrian army. It's funny to say, the terrorist organization is training the Syrian army. But that's the reality over there. And I must say that Iran long ago crossed the red lines of Israel, and that's why you see the new strategy in the past few years, which is the campaign between the wars and trying to fight this bombing these warehouses and ammunition that Iran is bringing again and again and again to Syria and to Lebanon.
Sorry, we were told there was already a name for this. It was called the War in the North, or the War of the North. Is that used now, or is that passé?
No, the War of the North is a term that's being used for a scenario of fall-out war in the North, in a situation that, you know, thousands of rockets will fall in Israel, the IDF will be recruited to fight Hezbollah in both borders.
So it is not guerrilla activity or raids or militia. It's of a symmetrical warfare units.
All these players will participate in the War of the North. But the term that is used as of today is Mabam in Hebrew, which means the campaign between the wars.
Sarit Sahavi is a lieutenant colonel retired from the IDF. She's CEO and founder of ALMA, a nonprofit independent research and education center, looking particularly at the northern border of Israel. Malcolm Holline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.